Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive. You know, today we're going to dive into something a lot of us struggle with, peak productivity, not just in our work lives, but you know, our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of look at it through this lens of think and act locally,
mm-hmm.
because we believe it all starts with, you know, those practical steps to improve ourselves first and then our communities.
Yeah, that's a really important point. When we are personally, you know, more productive, less stressed, naturally, we have more energy to give back to our communities, to the causes we care about.
Exactly. And if you're out there listening and finding value in these deep dives, we really would love your support. You can donate at thinkandactlocally.com/authidonate, and we'll put the link in the show notes for you.
Awesome.
But to get into the meat of it today, we have an expert in all things getting things done to help break down some key insights from a great book, The Secret to Peak Productivity. This book promises a simple system that anyone can use, even if you think you're organized, called the Peak Productivity Pyramid.
Yeah, and you know what I think is really interesting about that Peak Productivity Pyramid is that it kind of mirrors Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You need certain foundations in place before you can reach your full potential.
That makes total sense. The book also features some really compelling stories, like John Allaire. He's a real estate agent, and he used this system in the book not just to survive a market crash, but to find deeper meaning in his life and his work.
Right.
But before we get to John, we need to start at the base of the pyramid. And that's physical organization. I know I'm not the only one out there whose desk can sometimes look like a disaster zone. The book really digs into how that physical clutter can really drain our time and energy.
Oh, it's amazing how much mental bandwidth clutter can just take up. The Secret to Peak Productivity actually shares stories of clients who are literally paralyzed by paper piles. One of the clients, April, was so overwhelmed by the fear of mislabeling files that she just stopped filing altogether.
Yeah, it's like that feeling when you open an overstuffed closet and you're like, nope, you just shut the door.
Yeah.
Pure avoidance. But this is where the think and act locally connection gets really interesting, right?
Absolutely. Because a cluttered home or a cluttered workspace can be a significant source of stress. And that, you know, makes us less efficient, less engaged in our community. It's tough to act locally when you're drowning in your own stuff. So the book proposes a system for decluttering called the three toes: to toss, to do, and to keep.
Okay, so walk us through those. Like, what's the magic formula for finally conquering these paper piles?
So the first one, to toss. This is where you ruthlessly get rid of anything you do not need. Expired coupons, old bills you've already paid, duplicates. Just ask yourself, could I easily retrieve this information somewhere else if I needed to? Is this truly gone forever, or is it just taking up space in my home?
Out of sight, out of mind. All right, what about to do? I know I have a stack of bills and forms lurking somewhere.
Yeah, right. So to do is for anything that requires action. And don't worry about completing the task right away. Just gather everything in a designated spot. You know, it could be a tray, a folder, whatever works best for you. The main thing is to get it out of the general clutter and just acknowledge it needs attention.
Okay. And finally, to keep. This is where I personally struggle. Deciding what's really worth holding on to for the long haul.
Mm-hmm. And the book emphasizes that there's no right way to file. It's about finding what clicks for you. Some people really thrive with alphabetical systems, others like categories, and others organize chronologically. And you don't even have to be limited to filing cabinets.
Right.
You know, you can use binders, magazine holders, even digital storage.
And there's a great example of this in the book. Margaret, who runs her own design business, she used to be drowning in paperwork. And then she switched to a streamlined system using binders. It totally transformed her workflow. Shows that even for really busy professionals, you can find solutions that work for your individual style.
Absolutely. It's about reclaiming control. And, you know, to make it less daunting, the book suggests starting small. So, you know, focus on one area at a time, whether that's your desk drawer or a corner of a room, and celebrate those small wins to keep you motivated.
I love that. The snowball effect. You know, small changes build into something much bigger.
Yeah.
And speaking of digital, that brings us to the next level of the pyramid, electronic organization. We often overlook how much digital clutter we accumulate. Overflowing inboxes, chaotic desktops, countless photos we never even look at.
It's so true. And there's actually a story in the book about Claire. She's a new mom who went back to work after maternity leave, and she was completely overwhelmed by managing digital photos and work files and personal emails. It was all just jumbled together.
Like, technology can be an amazing tool for connection and engagement, but when we don't manage it, it becomes this other source of stress and distraction. And I think this is where Think and Act Locally comes in. When we're constantly bombarded with notifications and digital demands, you know, it's hard to be present in our communities.
It is. It is. So the book offers some really effective email management strategies. The ABCs are really helpful. Access, batch, check, delete, execute, and file. I know that sounds like a lot, but it's really about breaking it down and consciously deciding how we interact with our inbox.
I really like how they suggest scheduling specific times to check email rather than constantly reacting to every ping or ding. The book claims that you can regain hours in your day just by doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
And while we're talking about digital organization, we can't forget about backups.
Oh, backups are essential. And, you know, the book mentions both local backups, like external hard drives and cloud solutions, which are fantastic for accessing your files from anywhere.
It's that peace of mind knowing that your photos, your important documents are safe, even if something happens to your computer.
Absolutely. It's like a safety net for your digital life. Mm-hmm. And looking towards the future of electronic management, the secret to peak productivity touches on, you know, how software is evolving to anticipate our needs, automatically organizing files, predicting what we might be searching for.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even with these advancements, we still need to cultivate that organized mindset to utilize those tools effectively.
So it's not about technology replacing our skills, but enhancing them.
Exactly.
Okay. So once we've tackled physical clutter, digital clutter, we can move up to the next level of the pyramid. Time management. This is where things get really personal, I think, because let's face it, we all feel pressed for time these days.
We do. And the book actually highlights this really sobering statistic. Americans work 15% more, but have 33% less leisure time now than they did a few decades ago. It's a trend that really pushes us toward burnout rather than fulfillment.
And that's so connected to Think and Act Locally. If we're constantly running on empty years, we have less to give to our communities, less energy for those local projects and connections that really matter.
You're exactly right. It's about reclaiming our time so that we can invest in what truly matters, both personally and for our community. And the book lays out a framework for managing time by focusing on three key P's: plan, prioritize, and perform.
Okay, let's unpack those P's. Starting with plan, what are the most important things to keep in mind when you're trying to create a schedule that actually works?
Well, the book stresses the importance of using calendars effectively. And whether you're a paper person or you prefer digital, the key is sticking to one system. They share a story about Anne, who constantly double booked herself because she was using separate calendars for work and family. It was total chaos.
We've all been there. That sinking feeling when you realize, oh no, I scheduled two things at once.
Exactly. So one calendar to rule them all.
One calendar. Got it. What about prioritizing? How do we even decide what deserves our precious time and energy?
So that's where the important versus urgent matrix comes in. And the book explains how to use this tool to figure out what genuinely requires our attention and what's really just a distraction. It's about learning to say no to the things that drain our time without really contributing to our goals.
So it's not simply about managing time, but managing our energy and focus. Which brings us to the last P, perform. And this is where a lot of us stumble. You know, grappling with procrastination and distractions.
Yeah.
What are some helpful tips for actually getting things done?
Well, the book has some practical strategies like breaking tasks down into smaller, more manageable chunks, setting deadlines, even for personal projects, and maybe finding an accountability partner. It's about building momentum and overcoming that inertia that can keep us stuck.
Like having a cheerleader in your corner, someone to celebrate the wins and push through the tough spots.
Absolutely.
Once we've mastered time management, we move on to level 4 of the PEAT productivity pyramid, activity goal alignment.
Yep.
Here we shift from merely managing time to intentionally aligning our actions with what we want to achieve.
Right. This is where things get exciting. It's moving beyond efficiency to effectiveness. And there's a story in the book about Katie, who owns a gym, and she totally transformed her business by focusing on one key goal, increasing memberships. This forced her to prioritize tasks that directly contributed to that goal.
Oh, that's a great example of how clarity of purpose can drive action. And this has huge implications for Think and Act Locally, right? When our efforts, whether it's personal or professional, are aligned with our values and our goals, we can make a bigger difference in our communities.
Absolutely. It's about that sense of purpose and impact. The book advocates for using what are called SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. to make your goals actionable and to break them down into manageable steps.
So it's not enough to just have a vague idea of what you want, but you have to define it clearly.
Exactly.
Create a roadmap for getting there.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the pinnacle of the pyramid, level 5, possibility. This sounds almost philosophical. What does it even mean to reach a state of possibility through productivity?
You know, this level transcends just checking things off a list. It's about tapping into your full potential to create a life that is rich with meaning and fulfillment. The Secret to Peak Productivity shares this great anecdote about Benjamin Zander. He's a conductor, and he encourages his students to envision their A student selves, like the very best versions of themselves they could be.
It's like, you know that saying, shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. It's about aiming high, not just in terms of accomplishments, but in terms of who we want to become.
Exactly. And it connects to Maslow's concept of self-actualization, that inherent drive to realize our full potential and to find meaning in our lives. The book actually outlines 5 E's of possibility: enjoy, engage, enable, evolve, and explore. And each one represents a different facet of this journey towards living a more fulfilling life.
Let's dive into those E's, starting with enjoy. I love the idea of rediscovering those passions that we may have set aside in the busyness of life. What are some practical ways to tap back into that sense of joy?
Well, one of the things the book really emphasizes is reconnecting with our true selves, those core interests and values that bring us joy. One suggestion is to actually reflect on activities we loved as children. What sparked our curiosity? What made time fly by? It could be anything from playing music to building things, spending time in nature.
Yeah.
It's about rekindling that spark and finding ways to incorporate it into our lives today.
It's like giving ourselves permission to play again.
Yes.
To explore those activities that make us feel truly alive.
Exactly. And that sense of playfulness can lead to the next E, engage. And this is about connecting with others, whether that's through volunteering or joining a local group or just spending more quality time with loved ones.
It's about nurturing those social connections that enrich our lives and make our community stronger.
Exactly. And it's not just about outward connections, but engaging with ourselves too. Maybe exploring spirituality or mindfulness practices. Finding that inner peace and grounding that allows us to be more present in all areas of our lives.
And then there's enable. This seems to be about investing in our well-being. Physical, mental, even environmental. What are some of the key takeaways for creating a life that supports our overall well-being?
The book talks about prioritizing our health, whether that's through exercise, nutritious foods, getting enough sleep. It's about creating that foundation of physical well-being that allows us to function at our best.
Like that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly.
We need to take care of ourselves to have the energy and resilience to really show up in our work, in our relationships, and in our communities.
And it's not just our physical health, but our mental and emotional well-being as well. The book encourages exploring stress management techniques, meditation, spending time in nature, or seeking professional support if needed, building resilience and learning how to cope with the challenges that life throws our way.
It's about creating a life that feels supportive and nurturing, both internally and externally.
Right. And then that leads to evolve, building upon what we're already good at and what we enjoy doing. It's about recognizing our strengths and finding ways to expand them, whether it's through taking on new challenges at work, learning a new skill, or simply deepening our knowledge in a particular area.
It's about embracing that growth mindset.
Yeah.
You know, believing that we can always learn and evolve.
Exactly.
And finally, explore. This sounds like the most adventurous E.
Yeah.
What does it mean to explore possibilities in the context of productivity?
It's about pushing our boundaries, trying new things, being open to unexpected opportunities, whether that's traveling to a new place, taking a class in a subject that you've always been curious about, or just striking up a conversation with someone you wouldn't normally talk to.
It's about breaking out of routines and embracing that sense of curiosity and wonder.
Yes.
And to bring all of this to life, the book circles back to John Lehrer's story.
Mm.
You know, he's the real estate agent who not only found success in his field, but discovered a much deeper meaning and purpose in his life.
Right. And, you know, John's story is such a powerful example of how the peak productivity pyramid can really lead to a more fulfilling life. You know, he started out with ambitious goals, much like the material success that he saw in figures like Donald Trump. And he actually found early success in real estate. But then the market crashed.
And that's where a lot of people would have given up,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just become discouraged. But John used the system to not just survive, but thrive. He actually found time for strategic thinking, reconnected with his faith, and got more involved in his community, mentoring others.
It's a really compelling contrast. His initial vision was so focused on external achievements, but you know, his journey led him to a deeper purpose and internal fulfillment.
Right.
It reminds us that productivity isn't just about, you know, getting things done. It's about crafting a life that aligns with our values and brings us joy.
Totally. And it really speaks to that think and act locally message too.
Yeah.
You know, seeing how organizational skills can lead to personal growth and in turn to community engagement.
It all comes full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we realize that our actions, no matter how small they seem, can ripple outwards and create positive change.
Yeah. Before we move on, kind of want to bring it back to you, the listener.
Yeah.
What parts of John's story resonate most with you? What are some of the sparks of inspiration or possibility that you're feeling? Hold on to those sparks. They might be the seeds of change in your own life.
I love that. And, you know, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. Everything from, you know, the practicalities of decluttering to the more philosophical concepts of purpose and possibility.
Right.
So let's distill this down to some key takeaways for our listeners. What are the nuggets of wisdom that you hope that they walk away with?
I think it comes down to this. You know, we've learned about the peak productivity pyramid, but how do we make it actionable? I think a lot of people listening might feel overwhelmed.
I think you're right. It's important to remember that productivity is a journey, not a destination. It's not about, you know, achieving this mythical state of perfect organization. It's about constantly striving to create a life that feels aligned and fulfilling.
And it's those small changes, consistently applied over time, that lead to those big transformations.
Yeah.
Whether it's picking one drawer to organize or unsubscribing from 5 email lists this week.
Exactly. It's also about approaching productivity holistically. Mm-hmm. You know, acknowledging that our physical, digital, mental, and emotional well-being are all interconnected. We can't neglect one without impacting the others.
You can't pour from an empty cup. We need to take care of ourselves in order to have the energy and resilience to show up in our work, our relationships, our communities.
Exactly. And, you know, we have to remember that productivity isn't just about maximizing output. It's about creating a life that feels meaningful, purposeful.
Right.
It's about aligning our actions with our values and investing our time and energy in a way that makes a positive impact, both personally and in our communities.
And that's what Think and Act Locally is all about, recognizing that even those small individual actions can ripple outward. So, you know, we've talked about how this system helped John find success in his career. But what were some of those crucial shifts that he made as he climbs the peak productivity pyramid?
Well, it really started with getting his physical and electronic spaces organized. And, you know, that freed up so much mental space and time. He wasn't drowning in paperwork or constantly searching for files anymore.
It's like clearing out those cobwebs, literally and figuratively.
Exactly. And, you know, that newfound clarity allowed him to really focus on time management, which, you know, as the book emphasizes, is really about choice management.
Right.
And, you know, he became much more intentional about how he spent his time. He started scheduling in those important but non-urgent activities that often get neglected.
Things like, you know, making time for exercise or connecting with loved ones or just having some quiet time for reflection. These are things that are so crucial for our well-being, but they so easily get pushed aside when we're busy.
They do. And that's where John's story gets really inspiring. You know, he started incorporating those things back into his life, rediscovering his faith. He even found time to mentor others in his community. He found this deeper sense of purpose that went beyond, you know, just achieving that professional success.
It's a powerful reminder that productivity isn't just about getting more done. It's about creating a life that feels meaningful and fulfilling, a life that allows us to contribute to our communities and, you know, not just survive, but thrive.
It's that ripple effect you were talking about. When we're individually more grounded and energized, we naturally have more to give to our communities. It's like this virtuous cycle.
And it's thinking and acting locally, right? Taking those small steps in our own lives to create that change that ripples outward.
Yeah.
So if someone's listening to this and feels inspired to think and act locally, what's one action they could take today to apply these ideas?
It could be as simple as setting aside, you know, 15 minutes to declutter their workspace, or finally unsubscribing from those email lists that they never read, or even just writing down that one smart goal that's been, you know, on their mind.
And if those small steps start to feel overwhelming,
yeah,
you know, think back to John's story. He didn't become the peak productivity version of himself overnight.
Right.
It was a journey. It was small, consistent changes that built upon each other. And that's something that anyone can do.
Yeah, it's so easy to think you need like a total overhaul to see any real change. But sometimes it's just those small everyday choices that make the biggest difference.
Oh, absolutely. And, speaking of small changes, The Secret to Peak Productivity talks about the power of language. You know how the words we use can shape our whole mindset. And they have this really simple but powerful exercise. For 1 week, try to avoid using the words have and time together.
So instead of saying, like, I don't have time to exercise, we'd say, exercise isn't a top priority for me right now. Right. It's about taking ownership of our choices.
Right.
Recognizing that time is a resource we manage, not something that controls us.
Right.
It's subtle, but it can have a big impact on how we approach our day.
It's shifting from that scarcity mindset to one of empowerment. Like, we have the power to choose how we spend our time and energy, and that shapes the life we create.
Exactly. And that's where the peak productivity pyramid can be such a valuable tool.
Yeah.
It gives us a framework for creating a life that feels aligned with our values, our goals, and our deepest aspirations.
It's moving beyond just being busy to being truly productive, in a way that brings us joy and fulfillment. And as we saw with John's story, that sense of purpose can inspire us to contribute more to our communities and make a positive difference.
It's that think and act locally spirit, Recognizing that our individual choices and actions can create a more vibrant and connected community. So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with this thought. What seeds of possibility have been planted for you today?
What sparks of inspiration are you taking with you?
Hold on to those sparks, nurture them, and let them guide you as you create a life that feels truly productive and meaningful and, aligned with your deepest values. And if you've been enjoying this deep dive and the work we do at Think and Act Locally, we would love for you to consider supporting our mission. You can visit our website at thinkandactlocally.com/donate to make a contribution. We'll also include that link in the show notes.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into peak productivity and possibility. We hope you feel empowered to take those small steps that can lead to big changes in your life and in your community.
And until next time, keep thinking, keep acting, and keep making a difference.